Your organic search is over. Here's Naturally Savvy with health experts Andrea Donsky and Lisa Davis.
When I was pregnant, I did yoga every single day of my pregnancy up until I delivered. I wish I was that dedicated now. Andrea, did you exercise during pregnancy? I'm guessing the answer is
I did. I walked a lot. I walked a lot.
Well, we have got the wonderful Brandi Dehan here. She's going to talk about her book, The Pregnant Athlete, How to Stay in Your Best Shape Ever Before, During, and After Pregnancy, and help us bust some myths when it comes to should women be working out when they're pregnant. Hi, Brandi.
Hi, thank you for having me.
Oh, it's so nice to have you on. Brandi, why don't you give us a little background? Because I think a lot of women end up becoming afraid to work out when they're pregnant.
I was actually one of those women as well. I mean, I've been a lifelong athlete, high school sports, college sports. Post-college was the women's leagues, the triathlons, adventure races, things like that. And when I was getting older, I was in like the top, you know, peak race shape, had the best race season of my life. And I was like, oh, God, all right, now I got to get pregnant and I'm going to lose it all. So, I mean, I was definitely kind of nervous and afraid that, all right, I'm going to get pregnant, I'm going to have a baby, and basically I won't be in great shape anymore, or obviously it'll be really hard to kind of get back to where I was. And after the first doctor's appointment, when he told me that I could still continue my exercise and activity, I mean, I was excited. So I definitely just kept going, listened to my body. And just kind of dispelled some myths that are out there. And it was great. I had two amazing pregnancies, deliveries, and recoveries with two amazing healthy children. So definitely being and staying active throughout pregnancy is key.
What type of exercise do you recommend for people who are pregnant? Is it kind of continue what you were already doing? Or let's say for those who are just not to start taking up rigorous exercise, but what if they want to start when they get pregnant?
I would start just with, like, I mean, just simple kind of low-impact or low-intensity strength training. I mean, I kept up the higher-intensity circuit training and boot camps and CrossFit and stuff through both pregnancies and triathlon racing. But for women that become pregnant and they want to do something else, I mean, more like doing some yoga, some lower-intensity strength training just to build some muscle. And to help their core get a little bit stronger for delivery and recovery. But certainly wouldn't encourage them to do anything that's different or higher intensity that they're not used to.
Well, Brandi, I think it's really interesting talking about the fact that you were able to keep up. Was it pretty similar, the high intensity that you were able to do when you were pregnant?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I mean, it was all the same stuff, the same intensity, but it was just a little different. So, I mean, I was working as hard as I used to. I just wasn't going as fast, but I was still able to lift as much weight, still able to do a lot of the activities that I had done before pregnancy. And I would always just say, oh, I'm just going to see if I can do this. And, you know, I was always able to just get things done to where I thought it was safe to do, but it was challenging. It was just something I just kind of challenged myself through the pregnancies.
Now, did you get odd looks from people when you were, like, lifting heavy amounts of weight while pregnant? And how did you handle that?
Especially in, like, old commercial gyms. I mean, I have my own training facility now, but for my first one, I was working out at, like, Bally's or something. And, you know, the guys didn't want to work out near me because I'm bench pressing when I'm, you know, 8, 9 months pregnant, or squatting and deadlifting. And they definitely steered clear. So, and that was fine.
What about, Brandi, for in terms of sit-ups? I remember when I was a member of the gym, this was years ago before I even had kids, and there was this one woman who was one of the instructors at the gym, and she used to do hundreds of sit-ups. She was pregnant, and she used to do hundreds of sit-ups at the gym. And I remember thinking to myself, wow, that's amazing. And I remember she was saying it helped her with recovery. It helped her kind of just for so many different things. What are your thoughts on that?
Oh, definitely. I mean, I continued any type of ab exercise I could, sit-ups. I mean, even weighted sit-ups, medicine ball sit-ups. Anything that I was able to do. And of course, you know, as your belly gets bigger, you just kind of spread your legs out a little bit. So when you do come up, you have that space for the belly to do the sit-ups. I mean, decline sit-ups, you know, any type of sit-up that you're comfortably able to do, do it. And comfort is all relative, because although I was doing it, I wouldn't say that it was not, I wasn't in discomfort, because it was obviously it's exercise, it's high intensity exercise. There is always that element of discomfort. So you got to kind of know what it feels like to be in discomfort through exercise.
Oh, that makes so much sense. And you said earlier in the interview about listening to your body. So if something mm-hmm. doesn't feel right, obviously you need to not do that. What are some exercises that you would advise that help women have a healthy and happy delivery?
I would recommend if women are thinking about getting pregnant or they know in the next year or two they're going to be looking to have a family, to start like a boot camp or start getting into like a structured fitness program or like CrossFit program is so much better than doing things on your own in the gym where you avoid doing the things that you don't want to do. A lot of times, you know, doing push-ups and burpees and things like that that women or most people don't like. When you have to do them, you have no choice because you're in a group, you have that coach, you have the camaraderie and motivation of a group. It's just so much better. And you're just going to get into just peak shape because you challenge yourself based on the people around you as well. So you're always going a little bit harder.
You know, I've been hearing a lot about CrossFit. Tell us a little bit more about it. It's something I've been wanting to learn about.
CrossFit is a training philosophy where it's really community-based. And we actually own a CrossFit box as well in Salem. And, you know, we own a boot camp company, CrossFit. And it's just the people that do CrossFit, and not all of them are like, you know, the intense athlete or the intense exerciser. It's the stay-at-home mom that's like, oh, you know, the gym's not doing it for me. I just need that. I need a coach, you know, and I need somebody to tell me what I should and shouldn't be doing, but also having the pressure of a clock. So now you put a clock to these workouts and you just go a little bit harder because you have to put your time on a board, you know, based on how long it took you to finish, you know, 5 rounds or in 15 minutes, how many rounds of these exercises can you do? So you go a little bit harder and you push yourself a little bit more because there's that group, there's the pressure of the clock, and you have a coach just encouraging you and motivating you as well as the group of people that around you, you know.
Now, what do you recommend for recovery? Because obviously, if people are working out pretty hard, I've been hearing lately that high intensity working out high intensely, or I guess high intensity, isn't necessarily as good for us as we once thought, and also it produces some free radicals and inflammation in the body. Mm-hmm. So I would venture to guess that it's important to repair our body after we have these high intensity workouts. What are some things that you recommend?
Mainly listening to your body. I mean, there were many times where, you know, I would go through a workout when pregnant or even not pregnant, and I would just be particularly sore, you know, the day after based on whatever it was, the exercise that made me really sore, especially like when I figured out, okay, I got to stop doing single leg step-ups and lunges because, you know, the pelvic floor is just so sore for like 2 or 3 days. So now I know, all right, I'm just going to start doing the regular squats and deadlifts, just stay based on 2 feet. And not do a single leg activity. So, I mean, I definitely stopped that the last couple months. But my body told me, it was like, you know, if I'm not sore for, 2 to 3 days and it's a uncomfortable soreness, you know, I would stop the activity. But, and especially people that are newer to exercise, if you're really sore, go and just modify whatever you need to do to still work out, but not keep aggravating or pushing that part of your body that's sore. You got to let it recover. And that's
really
when it's going to.
Just really quickly, we have about five seconds left. What about in terms of, I know it's a load of questions at 5 seconds left, but what about in terms of water intake and liquid intake? How important is it to drink and how much?
Oh, hydration, very important. I mean, probably half gallon a day. Just keep hydrating, hydrating, hydrating. Don't wait until you're thirsty. Just know that you got to keep drinking water. It's very, very important for the baby. Also the omega-3 oils, fish oils, very important.
Yep. Perfect. Yeah, we love the omega-3 fish oils here. We talk about them a lot. All right. Well, thank you so much, Brandy, for being on our show. And you can follow Brandy on Twitter at @dacapo, @dacapopr. I'm Andrea Donsky along with Lisa Davis. This is Naturally Savvy Radio on Radio MD. Like us on Facebook and follow us on Twitter @YourRadioMD and @NaturallySavvy. Thanks for listening, everyone. Stay well.